You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Radiant Culture. I'm your host, Cookie Monster.
And this is me, Honorable. Sorry, I mean, Biscuit.
I've got a feeling you want to be an honorable.
Dude, do you have political ambitions?
No, others have gone before me, so there's no need.
It's okay, you know.
Yeah. Because I know a DJ Biscuit. Yeah. Honorable used to be DJ Biscuit of Health.
You see?
Of Health was DJ Biscuit. That's why I felt like you want to be.
Anyway, today we've got a very special guest in the house. None other than Pastor G.
Yeah.
Pastor G, what's happening?
What's up, Cookie Monster and DJ Biscuit. I mean, Biscuit. Yeah.
No, cool. You know, Pastor G is someone who's very special, and most of you know him.
Yeah.
You know, today we're going to be talking about staying the course. That's the subject that we're talking about today. And I think, you know, Pastor G is somebody who symbolizes and embodies that in so many ways. You know, I remember when I met Pastor G, I was still in high school. At PE, and they came to sing with this group, Tidings of Love, at chapel. You know, this several years ago. I won't say how many, but
1999.
Now, man. Anyway, and this is 2019. You know, and he's still here. He's still pushing, still doing it. So, Pastor G, you know, I think one of the things we'd love to know is your journey, how you started, what's helped you to stay the course?
Okay, let me really just break it down a little bit. I was born in Zambia, naturally, 1970. My mom and dad, Tracy and Albert Gwanzura, told me that right from the birth I was singing. But in essence, I got saved. My faith journey started 1984. At a high school, you know how it is. We went to Meboren Girls High, my friend and I, just to check out the girls, as some hot-blooded teenagers. Mm-hmm. And voila, there I encountered Christ, got saved. But my calling in terms of into the ministry, or my sense of assignment, really came when 1988, my youth pastor, an Indian by the name of Ashok Jalalabadi, prayed for me to receive the Holy Ghost, and then he gave me a word of knowledge that I'll be an evangelist pastor. Fast forward 1991, God even spoke even deeper through other people and also through the word that I needed to consider that I needed to go into ministry as a youth minister. And so I did 3 years of Bible school after that, and 1995 I started pastoring as a youth pastor at a church called Calvary Baptist Church. And it is at that church where I met several other young people, and we formed the group Tidings of Love.
Right.
And that's where my musical journey began now, in essence. Before that, I used to sing songs by B.B. Winans, B.B. and C.C. Foyim, Steve Green, Steve Curtis Chapman, and so forth, using backing tracks. Yeah. But in essence, when we started singing together as a group, we started writing songs. And 1999, we recorded our first album, Tidings of Love, which had the song Diana Chata, produced by Fortune Mparutsa, the late. Yeah. So really, in a nutshell, that's my journey. But I would like to even break it down further in terms of four things that have helped me stay the course.
Right.
Yeah.
Number one, having a sense of calling.
Yeah.
It's God's sense of assignment, that to feel that there's something bigger than myself that God has called me to. That really has helped me stay the course. And I can point to all those things, you know, at various points in my life where God, it reinforced God's sense of calling, of assignment. Now, calling is normally a very debated topic.
We've discussed it a few times here.
Very multifaceted, very broad, and it's not like looking for a needle. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack, rather. Mm-hmm. And for me, number one, calling has to do, first of all, with that sense that God has assigned me to do this.
Yeah.
But secondly, it has to do also with our natural talents. My natural talent is to sing.
Yeah.
I can sing well. Yeah?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I can sing well. Yeah. So does R. Kelly.
Yeah.
So does Takura. So does you know, Usher, so does Ja Praiser. So it's natural talent.
Yeah.
So it's only an aspect of my calling.
Yeah.
It's not like the total end of my calling. Because remember what I said, calling is a God sense of assignment. So that coupled the natural talent, then also another aspect of calling has to do with our spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the spiritual gift of exhortation, encouragement, as well as teaching and preaching. Yeah, those are my dominant gifts. So I use now music as a vehicle. My natural talent mm-hmm. becomes a vehicle for my spiritual mm-hmm. gift. So it then compounds what is known as my calling.
Yeah. In fact, on that issue of calling, Pastor G, maybe mm-hmm. if you can just quickly explain this for us. Is when most people mm-hmm. think of calling, they think of it in spiritual terms. They think of it in terms of ministry, that this person has been called to this. That's it, the Lord, that whole thing. But can someone be called to be a lawyer, for example, or to be an athlete, right? Can that still be categorized as a calling?
It is. It is a calling. As far as I'm concerned, it's where God has assigned you to be. For some others, it's to be a lawyer. I mean, I know a lot of people who are marketplace ministers.
Right.
And they serve in church, but also they are marketplace ministers. And they use that influence to raise the profile of who God is. I can think of several names off the cuff. Nigel Charakira, to name a few. Barry Menandi, you know, several other people that I can think of. Who, even Maimba Mpuranga, you know, is saved. And many other people who I can think about who serve within the marketplace. And I've got business people, lawyers, you name it. And so it has to do with what I mentioned, natural talents as well as acquired skills.
Yeah.
Being a lawyer is an acquired skill. You go to school, you study to be a lawyer, you study business and so forth. Some are natural business people. But it's a calling. It's part of your calling. If you've got that, God can use that to couple with your spiritual gifts to actually have an impact for Him, and it can be your assignment. But another thing that calling has to do with is passion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Having passion. Somebody said these words to me. They said the most important thing people remember you about is not what you say or what you do. They remember how you made them feel. And that is exactly what passion is. What you feel strongly about, that exudes your whole personality, that drives you. You know, I'm passionate about music. I'm passionate about young people.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about worship, about leading people into a place where they experience God in a mighty way. I'm very passionate about other things.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about activism and getting young people to a place where they embrace their civic mm-hmm. Responsibility. Those are my passions. They also hold. So it's a combination of a whole host of things: passion, natural gifts. Natural talents, spiritual gifts, acquired skills, and passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, that in a sense embodies calling. So people say, how have you stayed the course that you've done 11 albums and you have stayed the course and you've been able
11, to
do songs like Chivilika, Walk Along, Count Your Blessing, Jesu Chete, Inspiration, Indestructible, Mabiri Bobi, Unstoppable.
Mabiri Bobi.
You know,
that's
and
a dope track.
You check. So, you know, people ask me, how did you manage to do that? And I'll say calling, having a sense of calling.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing it because I want to make money, I want to be famous.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because I've got a sense of an assignment that God has given me, you know. Yeah. And so it has given me the tools to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the first point. Yeah. The second thing that has helped me stay the course is character. Not that I'm the best of characters. I've got my weaknesses, I've got my flaws, and my glaring flaws that I know as an individual, and God knows. But character is something that is very inherent in every person who leaves a lasting impact on the human race or on the universe. Character is who we are when no one else sees.
Yeah.
Character is the intrinsic makeup of our values, our values, our core values, our principles, our paradigms, what we believe, what we think.
Yeah.
And when I think of character, it has to do with, you know, who we are. Because we live in a world that concentrates on doing rather than being. Mm. So for me, couple of things have shaped my character. Number one, the Word of God and prayer. Mm-hmm. Being somebody who studies God's Word and who prays and who builds that personal relationship with God.
Right.
Yeah. And building that relationship, that has helped me stay the course. I'll be nowhere without God. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact. Number two, accountability. I'm accountable to several people. I've got a mentor. His name is Pastor Reverend Joe Mundamao.
Yeah.
He's not from your main. He's not from your from our charismatic Pentecostal church. He's actually from a mainline church.
Yeah.
But he's one of the most insightful people who I spend time with once a month. He asks me anything. How are you dealing with your sex life? How are you dealing with your marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean sex life in marriage, yeah?
Yeah.
Just to be clear. Just to be clear.
Not showing what's everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. So you ask me, how are you doing in your marriage? How are you doing with your finances? How are you doing with your goals? You said you're writing a book this year.
Yeah.
How far with that? How many chapters have you written? You're saying you're recording an album. What's your budget? How are you dealing with A, B, C? And you need somebody who can ask you questions.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, a lot of young people and a lot of people don't have that. We are tungo kunguruka.
Mm-hmm.
We're just rolling through life. And, you know, A.W. Tozer says the bent of nature is to the wild.
Right.
So nature will always bend towards the wild.
Yeah.
It has to be harnessed.
Yeah.
It has to be... We have to be harnessed in a particular direction. So accountability. The third thing, Cookie Monster and Biscuit, that has helped me stay the course is living in the light of eternity.
Hmm.
And I've got Rick Warren to thank for that.
Right.
Rick Warren wrote the book The Purpose Driven Church, Purpose-Driven Life.
Yeah, I read
and, you know, and he says that we've got at most 78 years on earth. They've got forever in eternity.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times we spend, 10 years pursuing things. We'll spend 70 years pursuing what we think are the ultimate things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Money, fame, fortune. Yeah. But yet God wants us to live in the light of eternity. In the light of it, in the fact that this is not our home. So if I have a purpose, I have to pursue things that will have eternal value and culmination. So for me, that keeps me going. And I fear, not fear, but rather, I can say, I'm very conscious of eternity.
Yeah.
And so that normally reins me back and makes me, whenever I'm discouraged and I think things, how come I'm not so famous as Tembalami. Tembalami is all over. I'm not as famous as Ja Praiser, and I'm not having the social media impact. Then God reminds, remember what you're doing this for.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody who impacted somewhere along the line. I've had a lot of stories of people who listened to me in a very obscure place.
Yeah.
When I was on radio, when I was a DJ, on Christian DJ on radio. Or when they listen to a song and how a song changed their lives. So eternity, living the light of eternity. I think that's the major thing for me. So that's on character. Yeah. Those three things have shaped my character. The Word of God and prayer, accountability, and living in the light of eternity.
Right.
Then I'll go to the third thing
that
has helped me stay the course.
Uh-huh.
Consistency. Developing consistency. You know, and consistency is a continual action that results in particular, that results in a particular goal over and over and over again.
And okay, so consistency. I would want to know what has helped you
to be consistent.
To be consistent.
Yeah. Now let me go there.
I guess that's deeper? Consistency in all those other aspects, in character, in the work that you're doing, and in everything, really.
Yeah, can I be a papa and go deeper? Shall I
go deeper, papa?
All right, okay. A couple of things have helped me. Number one, developing vision.
Mm-hmm.
Vision is a God-given mental picture of a preferred future. whenever you don't have you, if you can't see a thing,
just dropping tagline.
Mm-hmm. If you can't see a thing, if you can't visualize a thing, if a thing God has not dropped, I see an album before it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
The same way the carpenter sees a chair when he looks at a tree, and that's Miles Monroe who helped me see that. Have that perspective. When you look at a tree, carpenter sees ngoti, sees chairs, he sees tables.
Yeah.
So you, as if I'm an artist and I'm going to the music ministry, I need to be able to see where I'm going. Any person, mm-hmm. any sane person who wants to leave a dent on the universe needs to develop vision. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether you are a musician or you are doing whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. what is your vision? Where are you going to be 10 years from now?
Yeah.
15 years from now, 2 years from now, a year from now. Yeah. So number one. Number two, developing a penchant for excellence
mm-hmm.
will keep you consistent.
Mm, mm, mm,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Excellence is just developing the need. You always have to go high, the next level, whatever you do. If you did it last year, this year needs to go the next level.
Yeah.
Radiant Culture needs to go the next level.
True
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So the next logical thing for Radiant Culture is cameras in the studio.
Yeah.
And people mm-hmm. can see.
Mm-hmm.
And as we discuss.
Yeah.
like
yeah.
this. Yeah.
yeah.
You check. Yeah. Three, develop strategy. It's one thing to have vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to develop excellence, but another thing to develop a strategy.
Yeah.
Develop strategy. Have a strategy. How am I going to get to this? The final thing within consistency is develop a team. Yeah, you cannot mm-hmm. do it alone.
Yeah.
Develop people around you who can complement you.
Yeah.
So that helps you to be consistent. That has helped me to be consistent. Yeah.
That's really good.
The fourth and final thing that has helped me is creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We talked about calling, character, consistency, creativity. Creativity is number one, comes by learning to do the unpredictable. People never figured me that I'll do a song like Indestructible.
Yeah.
You know, they thought I'll do another Mabiri Bobi or another Shichanaka.
Yeah.
But for my album Inspiration, when I did the song I Will Fly, I started changing my sound. That whole album Inspiration was a departure from the reflection of Street Preacher,
right.
from the Walk Alones, from the Chivilikas, mm-hmm. from all that. That whole album was a whole departure from that.
Yeah.
Why? Because you've got to evolve as a person.
Right.
If you're a person who's not even just creativity, has got nothing to do with just music only.
Yeah,
it's got to
yeah.
do with every other facet. As a lawyer, be creative. Whatever you're in, be creative. Develop creativity. That will make you last.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So what has helped me with creativity? Number one, I mentioned that you've got to learn, you have to have exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, unpredictability. Number two, exposure. Creativity comes through exposure.
Yeah, stands
to see the problem. The problem is, if you are always in your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
you become just the neighborhood champion. So because your peers are cheering you on, and you think that this is the ceiling.
Yeah.
When you go to the next neighborhood, you say, there's even a big, greater champion than you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the same thing with the creativity. My traveling to places like Nairobi
yeah.
in the mid 2000s, around 2005, going to Nairobi, South Africa, then as an artist, in fact, more Nairobi than South, because a lot mm-hmm. of gospel artists were copying the South.
Right.
When I started going east, I got exposed to a whole range of music. And at that time, also Celebration was going
yeah.
east, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember how that whole changed my whole paradigms
yeah.
on how to approach music, how to approach my career. Because
yeah.
that whole side, there's the radios, the media is open.
Yeah.
There are more studios, there are more producers. You hit a strong, you hit a producer.
Mm-hmm.
So exposure. Expose yourself.
Yeah.
So for me, when I started traveling to the U.S. and different other places, expose yourself. Expose yourself to people who know better than you.
Mm,
That will help your creative process. Yeah. Number three, that is critical in creativity, is develop a process.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no, rather not develop. That comes later. Research.
Mm-hmm.
Research. That will help you to be creative. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, research. I'm I spend time on YouTube listening to artists who people don't normally listen to.
Yeah.
I read so many things. Right now, you guys need to look for this on YouTube. A guy called John Henry.
John Henry, okay.
He runs a program called Hustle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, which has to do with entrepreneurship.
Okay.
I borrow some things from there, mm-hmm. and it helps my music ministry and career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then what is the anatomy of creativity? Anatomy of creativity has to do with develop a process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Develop a process. Every creative process, every work of creativity has a process. Develop a process. Develop even processes, not even just one. Different yeah. processes, you know. My creative process sometimes is just I go to some place and I'm just quiet and sometimes I fast and pray. That helps my creative process. Sometimes I read. Sometimes I just listen to music, secular or gospel.
Yeah.
And I go through different styles of music that informs my creative process. Yeah.
This is pretty amazing. You know what I love about what you're saying, Pastor G, is that there's been a lot of practicality and a lot of action, like pragmatic steps that you've taken, you know, because sometimes we assume that for someone to stay the course, you know, it's just the grace
just surviving, just the grit,
the grace of God has carried them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, you know, from what you're saying, I'm seeing that you've been very intentional about what you do.
Yeah. So that's how I've stayed the course, really. Thank you for that. And my book, really, Indestructible, Lessons of Life. Rather, lessons on life and worship from my journey really describes the more what I've been talking about in greater detail. I have a whole section on worship.
Yeah.
You know, the profile of a worshiper, you know, the biblical foundations of worship. I've got the gospel artist playlist. I mean, the gospel artist playbook.
Okay.
A chapter, what the things that you need to navigate around to make it as a gospel artist.
This is amazing, Pastor G.
So those are some of the thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think I guess before Biscuit says anything or any remarks that he has, but what I actually want to also highlight is earlier today I was watching your video.
Yeah.
Your new video, Zitara Jesu.
Zitara Jesu, yeah.
That's an amazing video, man.
Thank you so much.
You've taken the game several notches higher, you know. So what inspired that and just that whole concept? And
Okay. Let me go back. My last video was Indestructible.
Yeah.
Which I released 2 years ago, though the song came out far earlier than that. I've been very weak on visual content. So something snapped in my head because when I look at artists who are even younger than me, mind you, some of us came into on the scene when there was no YouTube, so I did like 8 albums before YouTube was a factor.
Ish.
Mm-hmm. 7 albums before YouTube was a factor.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't thing.
Yeah, all we had there was MySpace. Where there was then the internet was not so widespread in Zimbabwe. Yeah. We had several other, you know, obsolete platforms that have MySpace is now obsolete.
High five,
you name it, Tinder, you know, and you name it. All those things just disappeared. Yeah. So when YouTube caught fire, I didn't catch fire because I kind of like went behind.
Right.
So now content is everything.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying to Rearranging Culture, you need to build your content game. Know that you're not, high. Mm-hmm. This podcast is now.
Yeah.
It's very now. But I'm just saying that just in terms of digital convergence, I feel like I need to now deal with the visuals.
Right.
You know, so there's no more releasing an album and there are no visuals.
Yeah.
So now I'm working, even going backwards, doing songs, doing videos. So that's what inspired Zitara Jesu in terms of the video. The song itself is from an album called Victory 1911, which is my current album. Mm-hmm. And so also part of that is that I wrote that song together with the other young man, Wayne, who's based in Namibia. Phenomenal songwriter.
Right.
He wrote the chorus, then I wrote the verses around it. Yeah. So, yeah. And we used a Red camera, which is one of the most expensive cameras on the planet, mm-hmm, if not the most expensive. One of them, I think. It's one of them.
Yeah. And definitely way top of the range.
60,000 US. But I didn't buy it, but I rented it. Yeah. And it was like $250 a day to shoot with that
camera. Yeah, we can see that there's some...
Yeah. Then I look for a top producer, Simba G. He released his own video right now, but one of the top producers, video directors, Simba G, and another young man by the name of Auji Chiremba, who co-directed Tinomtenda Neko for Janet.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome, Pastor G. Okay, one more thing that I want to say this before I forget, is just from what you were saying, mm-hmm. Just, you know, your journey and all the different things that you've spoken about today.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things I would love to do is for you to, you know, there are many of our listeners that maybe in that space where they're wondering about, you know, things are so hard in Zim at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the future just looks bleak, you know,
it's
what's the point of trying to do anything? And there's someone who stayed the course. You've been in the game for a long time, and not just with music, but just your life in general. You know, you've stayed the course in terms of the faith, in terms of your gift, in terms of your music.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd love for you to just speak to someone who's at that place today, you know, where they're wondering, is it even worth it to begin the journey or to keep fighting?
And the question I would ask any young person out there is, what if the money was there? What would you do with it? What if the opportunities were there? Are you ready for it? So, a lot of times, a lot of people say, I don't have the opportunity, I don't have the money, I don't have this. Do you have the dream ready?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pele, you know the great Pele?
Yeah.
Footballer? Used to play the game before the game. He would go through every dribble that he would do in the game before the game. He would do it by himself. You know, he would play with the scenarios. Pretty much what the U.S. Naval nuclear sub do. They do war games.
Mm-hmm.
They do war games. Any army does war games.
Yeah.
It's the war before the war. And people are encountered psychologically and emotionally in terms of the whole. They have a game plan. What is your game plan? Strive Masiwa had Buddy before he had the license.
Yeah.
He had all those things ready before that. Of course, Eco Cash, he borrowed from Safaricom. Borrowed from M-Pesa.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he had the bulk of the things. So the question I asked you, I want to say to the young people who are listening that, listen, continue dreaming. Continue working, even if the money is... Be a volunteer. If you don't have a job, go to a company that is functioning and say, listen, what do you want me to do? I can do anything. Send me anywhere. I'll find myself here, even if I have to walk.
Yeah.
We have to learn to intern.
Yeah.
We have to, and I think you need to have a topic like that, just the power of internship.
Right.
Learning to be an intern. Yeah?
Yeah.
P. Diddy, or Puff Daddy, whatever you want to call him, or Dr. Love, as he was calling himself these days. P. Diddy started as an intern for Uptown Records.
Mm.
Yeah? Uptown Records was Andy Harrell. Andy Harrell was the CEO of Uptown Records. And P. Diddy came to Andy Harrell and said, listen, I'm willing to do anything. I just want to learn the game. Within 3 months, 4 months, P. Diddy was the artist and repertoire manager for the label. And he discovered Mary J. Blige, Casey and JoJo, several other artists came under through P. Diddy's hands. Usher's first album went through P. Diddy's hands.
Hmm.
Yeah, so we've got to learn the power of internship. Young people, don't sit back, be depressed, be in despair. Begin to work on your plans. Yeah? Begin to look at what other young people are doing across the globe.
This is good.
If it resonates with you, take it, adopt it. Have the game plan. How you have the game before the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, have the game before the game. So that when it's lights on, you're ready to perform. Yeah? You see, you don't want to be on the stage and burn up.
Yeah.
Yeah? You don't want to get in the limelight and burn up because you never went through the game before the game.
So you don't want the limelight to appear and you're just not ready to even go onto the stage.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
Yeah.
Because you have to capitalize on what is known as the power of the moment.
Yeah.
Many young people fail in the moment. Why? Because you were not playing the game before the game.
This is deep, man. This is deep.
Yeah. The game before the game is so critical. Yeah. Wow. It's so critical. Right now, I'm still dreaming. Yeah. I'm not finished. I'm not done. I've got a live DVD coming. It's already in, it's already finished.
Yeah.
I just gotta make sure that I've got the marketing strategy. Yeah. I've got it. I've been reading that guy John Henry. I've been talking about studying him, you know, and you know, I learned something from him this week about micro influencers.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who've got a huge social media following, who you learn to harness. People who've got either a major social media following, learn the power of partnership.
Yeah.
It's the power of partnership. Partner with people who've got platform.
Yeah.
Yeah? Don't just be a young person who say, this is my dream, and you're keeping it to yourself. Because, yes, people will burn you. Yes, people will steal your ideas. That's the name. That's the, that's that. Unfortunately, that's the name of the game.
It is what
but
it is.
But you've got more ideas in you than the power of partnership, the power of platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, was part of one of your points for creativity, that you have that team.
Yeah.
And really, when it comes to calling and so on, it doesn't matter if people are going to copy.
Yeah.
It's still your calling. It's
they can't do it the way you do it.
It's never do it that
there's
way.
What you call DNA.
Yeah.
No one can copy your DNA. There's something that you bring to the game that is unique to you. No one can be me.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can try and be. People can say, so-and-so is trying to be like Pastor G. But no one can bring it like I bring it.
No one can bring it. It's actually
flattering if they say they're trying to be like. It's actually cool. It's like, they're trying to be like.
Yeah.
But we've got to bring this one to a close. And I think we just need... I actually even asking for parting words sounds redundant because we've got so much there.
Yeah.
But maybe one... Can I even say that? One statement?
Yeah, maybe.
One takeaway statement
as I finish, dream big, live big. Live full, die empty.
Mm-hmm.
Live full, die empty. Live to the fullest of your capacity, ability, potential, and go to the grave empty. Don't let the ideas die with you.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Pastor G. This has been amazing. I wish we had more time, and I guess we're gonna have to try and create time to have you back in the studio, because I can
just pleasure
because I can see there's a lot there. But thank you so much to all our listeners. Thank you. You know, I think there's so much wealth that was shared by Pastor G today, and I hope you are listening. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you take these things to action, because you know, this is the real stuff from someone who's actually walking the journey. Biscuit.
Rewind is your friend, hey? This is online for a reason. Go over this over and over. There were so many points, so many stages, all worth digging into and deeper for yourself. So I would encourage everybody who listened, just do yourself a favor and listen to it again.
Yeah.
And then again.
And again.
Until it sinks in.
Until it sinks in.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, from us to you. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.